Would you mind speaking up a little?
Yes, thanks for having me here, Tim. So my name's Paul Murphy. I work with Big World. And in this talk, I'm just going to go over some applications of Python and how we use Python in our game engine. Hopefully it'll be something of interest for everyone if you haven't programmed at all, or you know Python and programmed a little bit, or you're a C++ developer and considering integrating Python. Just a quick survey, like how many people are programmers or program? Okay, that's good. And know Python, like have done some Python? Okay, and some C++? Okay, good. And some embedding in Python into C++? Okay, good. we won't get too heavy in the embedding and stuff, but we'll mainly give you an overview of where it can be applied, both embedding and standalone. So first off, who's Big World? Has anyone heard of Big World at all? Yeah, cool. So we're an offshoot of Micro Forte. So Micro Forte is an Australian game developer. Started in 1986. I don't know whether anyone remembers America's Cup on the Commodore 64. So it was one of those games that you'd always rip the socket out of the joystick. That was their fault, so that's our fault. So sold a lot of joysticks for Commodore. After the Commodore, did PC games, and then back in 1999, started massively modified online game development. So the idea was to make a platform with a license and also make our own MMOG games. We have partially developed some games, but due to publishers and other reasons, they haven't made it to market. Okay. So I will also go through just how and where we use Python. Okay, should skip that a bit earlier. So if you want to find out more about the company, it's just bigworldtech.com. So I'm a programmer with Big World, just lead server programmer. Been with them for about 7 years. It's pretty much from the start when they started to do their server backend. Okay, so this talk's about Python and how we use it. First question, why use a scripting language? Clearly the biggest reason is productivity. It helps enormously to increase the speed at which you can develop games, make modifications, iterate on what you've done with game development. A lot of it is, even more so than other software, trial and error. You'll try something, see how it feels, just iterate. So it's really good to be able to get fast turnaround. Part of the benefit for us as well is customizability. Being an engine, it separates more cleanly where game level logic is and where engine logic is. There is some crossover between that, but it helps a bit more. Reasons why not to use a scripting language would be memory, execution time, and learning another language. So you've got issues with crossing out between languages. All these reasons are becoming less important. Okay, when we're deciding on a scripting language, we kind of started looking for this, I think around mid 2000, early 2000. Different alternatives was whether we could just do it all in C++, whether we do write our own scripting language. Lesser options, Java and Lua. Lua is a lighterweight scripting engine, a scripting language that's good for embedding. It's used quite commonly, especially on resource limited bands. So becoming less of a benefit. But we went with Python, which in hindsight was a good choice. So benefits of Python is it is a high-level language, so unlike C++, you're closer to the problem, you don't have to worry about details as much. Fewer lines of code, easier to read, easier to maintain. It's a highly dynamic language, so it means it's lets you do a lot of powerful things and dynamic things, interactive things, prototyping things. The reflections also a big plus. It's good to be able to inspect objects, look at what they can do. Also good for interactive features and whatnot. Other same things of why it's a good language. Object-oriented, you get all the general pluses of being an OO language. Class inheritance, namespaces, although it's a dynamic language, it is strongly typed, so you've got types that you can work with, both built-in and in move around. It's also really easy to pick up. For those who don't program and are looking to get into it, Python's a really good language to get into. Or if you're coming the other way, if you're a C++ programmer and want to get into a scripting language, it's also a good one to pick up. It's definitely been, so our engine is written in C++. Our licensees are mainly C++ developers, so it's a big plus for them to be able to go from C++ to Python, and also the other way, they can have game designers and whatnot, and artists and whatnot who typically don't program, be able to interact at least on some level to take things around and modify things. It's got a nice clear syntax. It tries to get out of your way most of the time. One of the things that's often a downside or an initial hurdle that a lot of people have problems with are that it is indenting is important. It does proving via indenting. It's a bit of a leap for some people to be able to throw away the braces. But if you give it a go, it does work well. The main issues come up when you're transferring code around. So you just copy it through something that doesn't respect the white space. So often when you post it on websites, copy it on websites and stuff like that. That's the main issue where it comes up. Other than that, it makes it easy to read. It's how you should format code anyway. It could be anyone who can do it that way. So it ends up not being a problem. Another benefit for us is it is free software, so both Libre and Gratis. Having source code there definitely makes it a lot easier to debug. If you need to know what's going on, if you don't understand something, you can't go to the code to fully understand it. If something's crashing, you can inspect it, find it out. If you want examples for how they've done similar things, you can go to it. It's a real plus for us. It definitely is another thing that's
the world's collapsing.
A plus for us is if something's no longer supported, it is available to us. Python's definitely strong, getting stronger and stronger, so it doesn't seem like an issue now. It was fairly strong back in 2000, but it's definitely grown a lot in the last 6 or 7 years. And also we have been able to put a couple of platforms, so we're making an MMOG for the Xbox. It was easy enough for us to compile it on the Xbox, make modifications that need to be made, and keep out of there. We didn't have the power to do that. We'd have to find another solution when we brought it to the Xbox. We haven't applied for a dev kit, so we're waiting for that to come, say, any day now, actually. So, hopefully one of those days. Okay, also, gratis is definitely a plus. So, not only that it's cheaper, the real benefit, or another benefit, is that it's, because it's free, you can just get it and do it. You don't have to go through any management or purchase or the engineers to make a decision. And you can test it out fully without investing in it. So up front, we can just download it, kick the tires as much as we could, so get up and running pretty quickly without having to get a demo version, purchase orders and definitely the strong community behind Python is a big plus. It's grown a lot since we started with it. So we started with 1.5, it's now to 2.5. It's a strong language and it's getting stronger and stronger. Lots of books, documentation, libraries. More features added, and then do it in a good way, fairly controlled way, without learning the language. It's definitely a feature-rich language. If you compare it with something like Lua, I guess that's another option for us. That's a fairly lightweight thing that is just focused on core of things. So it does mean that it is a bit more resource intensive. It does have a bit bigger memory footprint, which was a little bit of an issue on the original Xbox. It's definitely becoming less an issue on PCs and newer consoles. Another big plus was it's really easy to embed. It was good for us to get up and going, get proof of concept, see that it would do what we wanted to, so without full understanding what it could offer, we could at least say, well, it's going to be at least good enough for us. And another great side effect is it's good for standalone projects. So we first chose Python to embed in our engine, but since then we use it for a lot of standalone programs. Both tools that we do ship to licensees are just internally for administration and bug cracking and whatnot, and all sorts of field scripts, and it's great to use. Team Beagle, we do ship C++ and then Python. Generally, you can write all your game logic in Python, but developers can step back to C++ if necessary. So we use Python quite a bit throughout our engine. Originally it was just the embedded language for the client and the server. We've also embedded it into our content tools, so we've got tools for generating the world or modifying models or generating particle systems and whatnot. So it's also that can be scripted, so you can make, so it's mainly at the interface levels, so your menuing systems and filter tools for drain fields and stuff, you can configure stuff. Different service rules. So I don't know, some of you have probably heard about TurboGuse, so that's a web server framework written in Python. So we've just recently been using that to write a tool to monitor the server. Also command line tools, the control cluster, WX Python tool, space field for just getting an overall view of the different spaces on the server and the entities from there. And the simple scripts, client access tool, just to be able to control the client. Okay, so hopefully you guys are like me and want to actually see stuff instead of just slide decks. So I'll run some of the run some of our stuff. So what I've got here is just a Windows box for the front end. Client runs on Windows. This is just a Fedora install for running the server. So generally the Big World server runs on a cluster of Linux boxes. We can scale with to the server cluster. So we can stop. Thank you. So all the functionality that you can do in see in the web console, you can do with the command line. They're basically just different wrappers to the libraries. So we originally had the Python command line tools, and it wasn't a big step to be able to integrate it into TurboGears. Okay, so just some other little tools that we have. So you can actually. You can pick a process and inspect values, so all sorts of different things you can configure. Just drill down, it's really easy in the code to expose properties to this property tree. It's impossible in script to be able to add your own, so just in Python script it's just a bunch of lines of code be able to have your own watches, so any sorts of parameters that you want to watch, you can do that. So it should be able to you can see here that, so just adding watches, so this is just the part of the watcher value and a function there, so you can write any sort of function to express it there. You can inspect the values through the watcher tree. You can also, so I hope this is going to work. It might work in this space. This is not working because of the displaced drawings. Sorry about that. I think I've got some slides later that we're going to show the display this. Display this again. so this can grab any of those values. So just a Python script running on the server that collects any stats that you want it to collect, writes it to a database and graphs it. Front end is just Flash. Back end, it's Python recording the values and Python serving up from a MySQL database. Running out of time, let's. Quickly show you some examples of using Python in game. Shortcuts, so .p is the player, and then you can tap complete to get all sorts of stuff. I guess we can, got lots of modules, lots of things you can do with things, all sorts of, so for the player, I guess we can look at its dictionary, so it's got all of these properties. All sorts of engines, I've run around for a short time. So all the entities and the behaviours are written in Python script to communicate with the server. It's just simple Python calls. So for example, a really simple entity here, it's just a building. If I target it and use it, it'll construct and destruct. So in the script, it's just calling a function on the object, so it's just calling use, and I can interactively do it. So it's just $t is just a shortcut for the target. Cell is the server entity, so I can call that and just call construct. connect to the server. So with the server, we just have you're able to telnet to the server. So control cluster is just finding out which port to connect to and connecting to the one we specify. So we can do things like okay, that's entity 64 there, so I can to get the building entity, and then so that's got that model name. I can actually do something like so all this one is not an excellent example. So if I just change it instead of stage 3, change it to stage 1, change that probably on the server, it's CTR. It's just propagated that automatically to the client, so all you need to do is change those properties. It would be propagated to all the clients that can see that, that entity, whether it's currently visible to you or when you visit it later. So that's just done through, we just have a simple definition of each entity, just an interface description, and we can dynamically create these objects, so make them call like on this building entity, on its cell object, this object is dynamically created, so on the client it doesn't have any code for this construct method. It just knows that there's a definition file that says this is a remote method. It's got no arguments in this case, streaming up to the server. The server knows, it's tested for that entity, and send it to it, and play on that. Okay, running short of time. Couple more minutes?
Three
more minutes. So, lots of stuff you can do with the embedded Python. Bring it up. I just. Of Python. So this is a standalone example. So it's just a simple WX Python script. So Discworld has three spaces. So you can teleport between spaces and then different spaces. We can just drill into it and see the see the entities that are available in that space. So that's me there. So I'm an avatar, it's gone bigger. That's that building entity you see and some of the guards walking around and whatnot. So not nice and easy to write. Easy to push around and modify. So another super quick example of another tool before we're all done. So another nice thing about Python is that it works cross-platform. So can run on Linux machines, can run on the Windows boxes, even GUI stuff. So here's another simple one. Actually, it's connected. So this has turned into the client. So the client also supports a turnip session. You just connect to it, you get a Python session. And you can expose all sorts of stuff. So instead of artists and less technical developers knowing what to type on the console, they can access it through a GUI. You can do it locally or remotely. So it's definitely good for console development when you don't have a keyboard and stuff. And also, I'll let turn into it to manipulate it when you haven't got a local keyboard or run a GUI on top of it. So this is, I don't know, I can't find an interesting one. It's, so these groups end up being really simple. So we just have a simple directory structure. The directory map to the layout there. If I go into, I think I just chose render. Okay, and so we just have a simple description of what we want to see. So we've got a thing labeled far plane. This one's just from the watcher value. The range we can set it to. So here we've just got a slider exposed to it, and we can modify it, and you can modify the far plane again. So there's all sorts of different things you can expose. It's really simple to modify. Different users and different customers can easily push around, customize it, whatever they want with it. I guess that's getting pretty close to time. There's lots more stuff there.
We've got a time for about 5-6 questions. Put your hand up and
pick up again.
What do you use to actually get interaction between the client and the server? It looks like you're doing kind of like RPC type calls.
Yeah, so it's our own RPC. So it's just the traffic between the client servers is UDP. It's just a UDP stream that. So most of the time it's sending down empty positions, so as things move around and whatnot, and then it's just messages for that as well. So we just have our own messaging system. Inside that, just says it's destined for this entity. It's this method calls all these arguments, or it's destined for this entity. It's this property that's changing. It's the new value of it. So it's just our own RPC.
CCP by me online uses stackless Python.
We didn't know about it at the time. It's an interesting option. It probably changes the type of problems you get. So it would make some code a lot easier and some code harder. So with ours, it is in a single thread, so most Python calls have to be short.
Microthreads.
Yeah, with Stackless it's microthreads, so you can run it over, so you can have things running there. So it's a different way to think about things. So with ours, you've got to use callbacks. If you know about Stackless Python, you can have lots of copies of the interpreter, basically. So lots of threads of processing. And so per entity, you have its own thread of execution. Ours isn't like that. EVE Online did use Stackless Python. So you get some things easier, some things harder. I think we're still better the way we did EVE Online. Any more questions?
How sentence is adding nodes to an area that's actually becoming more populated, so if you want to pause the avatars become granted what's in the location,
yep.
Can you scale that in real time?
Yeah, it's all in real time. So it's continuously advancing the load, so as areas get more populated. Basically all that happens is there's different levels of the server. So there's a front end where it's kind of a proxy layer and another set of servers that responsible for geometry. Pretty much as an entity gets more populated or more loaded, so the entities are doing more calculations, whatever, it just decides to offload an entity to a neighbouring one. And yeah, so offloading entities, it'll just load, so that's dynamic, it's at a per entity level, and it happens every second or something. So it's just continuous.
Okay, I'd like to thank Paul for giving this talk. As a token of our thing for coming to the MECOM, you get a bottle of South Australian wine. So feel free to choose one. I think there's a white wine in there if you prefer white. Mostly red, I think. Merlot.
stuff.
I don't drink wine, so I'm sorry if it's really bad. I don't drink any alcohol.
So thanks
for that.
You've got any questions later on, just feel free to
go on. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. So if you want to go out, breathe for a minute or two, feel free. Come back because we're going to have an interesting talk about licensing issues that we all should deal with, even if we don't want to.